morning, everybody. Take your seats. It's great to see everyone saying hello to each other. Such a welcoming church we have here. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
It's not many people here, but the ones that showed up, good on you. It's a long night last night. Some of us stayed up and watched the fireworks, so you might be a little tired. I know I'm a little tired, but I got a great message here today. It was great celebrating Canada's 150th anniversary yesterday, Canada's birthday. I just feel so privileged to live in this country where we have the freedom to come to church, to worship God, to learn about His Word. It's just amazing. And there's no place I'd rather be today than right here at City Light Church. I hope you guys feel the same way. Amen. Today I'm going to deliver a message I hope everyone will take away some practical lessons from. Today I'm speaking on healthy homes. Healthy homes, healthy church. Leading and loving our homes. I'm not speaking specifically about the physical meaning of health, because when you have five kids at home, like I do, you get a lot of sicknesses. Seems like we catch everything, and then one kid gets sick, passes on to her brother and sisters, passes on to Lisa and myself. And by the time it gets through all seven of us, it mutates into something else, and the cycle starts all over again. It's just never ending. So I really don't have any authority or business to speak on physical health. Today I'm going to be focusing on physical health, mental health, emotional health, not physical health. Mostly spiritual health in the home. I'm a father, and I have a role to play to fill our home, to develop a healthy atmosphere. I realize today that we're all from different family structures. Not everyone here has five kids at home. Some of you might have more, although I doubt it. Some of your kids have grown up, gone away to school, college. Some of you don't have any kids, never have. And others of you live at home, alone, which is great. But I want to encourage you, if you're in the group today that doesn't have children at home, don't turn your ears off during this lesson. I am talking about parenting, but I feel as though this church is a home. We are in the house of God. This is our home. And in the same way I have a role to fill as father, every person here has a role to fill in this church. I'm very thankful to be part of this church. And I'm thankful for everyone here that helps raise my children and raises all the children of this church. You heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, why wouldn't you want that village to be the church? By placing my children in the church, I'm placing them in Father God's hands. He is the greatest Father. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, unconditional love. And by placing them in the church, I'm also placing them in a community of believers. You guys. There are many people in this church that speak into our children's lives. And the children of City Light Church, they're all our children. So even if you don't have children at home, when you come into this church, or if it's your first time coming to this church, one of the things you realize, there's a whole lot of kids here. We're not lacking in that department. And as members of this family, we all share in the responsibility and in the joy of raising these kids in a godly manner. So, I feel that I've shown you guys that we're all part of raising these kids. So now let's get into the Word. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. So fear the Lord, serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice, don't we? It's like that Bob Dylan song says, you got to serve somebody. Don't fool yourself into thinking you don't, like you have a choice. Some people out there might say, I don't serve anybody. I'm my own boss. But think about it. We're all chasing after something. Some of us, it's money. success, maybe recognition, our image. Maybe we're just searching after a good time. But these are the things you're serving. Where we devote our time and our effort and our attention, this is where we're serving in that area. So I'm asking you, like Joshua asked the Israelites, who do you serve? Who do you want to serve? Answer this question honestly. I'm saying today that for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It's a man's responsibility to set the tone of spirituality in the home. Dads set the spiritual tone for their children. The father's influence, it's huge. I came across a stat that said, if a father does not go to church at all, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only 1 in 50 attend, become regular worshipers. 1 in 50. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. That's a jump from 2% to 70% of children serving the Lord into adulthood. It's very important. I ask the men here today, who will you serve? Will you serve the God of hockey, the God of golf, the God of entertainment, the God of work? Who are you going to serve? Or will you serve God, our Heavenly Father? If you are a father here today, I have no doubt that you love, cherish your kids, and you want what's best for them. So we need to ask ourselves a question. It's on the overhead here. What is most important in raising your children? The answer, putting God first. And regular church attendance is a huge part of that. No one can be an island. No family can be an island. Families are not designed to be all intertwined and looking only into themselves. They need to have outside influences. It's healthy. If we want our children to grow into the person that God intends them to be, they're going to need godly influences in their lives. I think it was Andy Stanley, and he said, for a parenting tip, that we should increase the time that our children spend around godly influences and decrease the time they spend with ungodly influences. It's important who our kids are spending their time with. And you need to know who's spending time with your kids. Because time equals influence. As parents, we should strive to spend as much time with our kids as we can. Sometimes that takes sacrifice. We might have to sacrifice a certain type of lifestyle, but it's important. From Sunday school teachers to youth leaders and other mentors along the way, the church is a place where our children can flourish in a godly environment. Church is a training ground. Another training ground is at home, and a third is at school. These are the most influential places that our kids go to. We need to be intentional in choosing these environments. Don't just let it happen by accident. Consistency is key. Church, school, family. Place your child in the right environment in church and in school and in the home, and you're placing them in a threefold plan where they can find truth. Have a plan to surround them with godly influences, and they will serve the Lord for the rest of their lives. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a promise from God. And I believe that all of God's promises are true. Every single one of them. And maybe you're not experiencing this, but maybe something was missing on the training end. You need to train, and you need to put God first. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Another question. What do you think is most lacking in homes today? There's many things that can answer this question. We could probably spend all day debating what's most lacking in the home. You know, maybe it's the father's presence. Maybe it's discipline. Maybe what's lacking is more screen time. Kids just don't get enough iPad. I think that's got to be it. Whatever it is, the home needs to be built on a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. The thing that's lacking most is simply this, a foundation of God-first living. I also believe that our entire country is moving away from the biblical foundations we were built upon. You know, as Canada turned 150, it's hard not to think about how far we've come from those biblical foundations 150 years ago. But that's another sermon. Let's stick with our houses. Our families and our church, we need to cling to God. We need to cling to His teachings to experience the blessings and promises that God has for us right now and right here. I have 4 points that I'm going to walk through to help us live out healthy homes. The first point, living the God first life. This is where it all starts. Our motives need to line up with God's motives. Our desires need to line up with the desires that God has planned for our lives. There's no room for a selfish heart in God first living. It's called God first living, not me first living. The sooner you adopt this mentality, the sooner you're going to be able to live a life that will be free. You see, I have no need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because I know fully that it's in God's hands. My job, my business, my family, my money, my possessions, my wife and my children, they all belong to God. I belong to God. With this mentality, we're free to live. When your children see this God-first heart inside you, it will reassure them that there's nothing to fear in this world. It gives them a sense of stability, a sense of security. Our kids need to know that God's the ultimate. He's the strongest, the mightiest. So, like that Sunday school song says, that there's nothing my God cannot do. My kids right now are into superheroes, the Avengers and Batman and Lego Batman especially, and all that stuff. But they know that no superhero is as cool as Jesus, not even close. Jesus is the most amazing in our household. In our house, Jesus is the biggest, he's the strongest, he's the mightiest. He's even stronger than Dad. I know, it's hard to believe, but it's true. A healthy home hinges on a God-first life. We need to live as ambassadors as Christ. This is a word that the Bible refers to us as. And it just means that we're to represent God's kingdom. And in our home, it should be a reflection of God's kingdom. Does your home look like God's kingdom? My second point, living by faith. This goes back to everything belonging to God. The Bible says that God is Jehovah Jireh. That definition of God means God is our provider. He will fulfill all our needs. A life of faith is a life without worry. The more faith you have, the less worry you'll have. There are times as a business owner that I go without work. There's some times that I go months without getting a paycheck. You guys want to grow your faith, start a business. It honestly works. You need to have faith. It's not always easy. But in these times of need, I always trust God. Sometimes Lisa will question it. She'll say, when are you going to find work? When are you going to get paid? But for the most part, we're on the same page. We know that even if it seems there's no way, God always makes a way. Sometimes we can't see in our own thinking how we're going to make it through the month, but we believe and we have faith, and God always comes through. God will reward your faith. It's amazing. Faith will strengthen your marriage. It'll strengthen your family. Finances, they can be stressful. They can cause arguments in a marriage. They cause tension in a home. I don't know why, but money is just such a hot topic. The more faith you live with, the less tension and the less stress there's going to be. Because it's not about you, it's about God. You're releasing things. In order to live by faith, we need to live not by sight. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, to live by faith and not by sight. There's a spiritual world out there, and it's in the unseen. We don't see it in our physical world. And God can do things in the spiritual world that will have an impact on our physical world right here. So when we pray and we ask God for things, that's when we start to see miracles. If you want your kids to serve God, open their eyes to the miracles that are happening to them all around. It's very appealing to kids. And if you're not seeing them, then you need to open up your eyes first. Teach your children the power of prayer. I pray with my kids all the time. Simple things, easy things. As your children grow, they're not going to question the authenticity of Jesus because they see him. They see him in your life and in things happening around them. It's important. Jesus is real. He's not Santa Claus. He's not some fable that we teach our kids so that they'll behave. But he's real. Jesus is life-changing. And the more we display the faith in God, the more the faith of our children will be strengthened. Why would our kids want to serve a Jesus that isn't real? They need to see him real in our lifestyle. And our lifestyle needs to be dictated by the Word of God. That's my third point. Living by the Bible. There's this acronym associated with the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Some of you may have heard it. It's called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. The principles in the Bible, they are basic, but they're also deep and powerful and life-changing. The struggle comes when we look at the Bible and we simply think it's a book, just a handbook to life, a set of rules, do's and don'ts. The Bible is so much more. The Bible is alive. It's living. You know, the Bible spoke to people 1,000 years ago the same way it did today. 150 years ago when they founded this great nation, the Bible was speaking to those people. And they set our laws and rules into place based on the Bible. There are so many principles in the Bible to help raise kids. All throughout Proverbs, so many principles. But beyond that, the Bible is filled with great stories that have teachable moments for our kids. And there's characters in the Bible that our kids can look up to and strive to be like. The Bible is just a faith booster. It's filled with stories of miracles, of Jesus feeding 500 people or 5,000 people with two loaves, or two fishes, five loaves. That's right. Just all these miracles that our kids look at and they just are blown away. But more than that, the Bible is a love story. I'd say it's the greatest love story, even better than the Notebook. It's true. In the Bible, God creates us, humans. We're his people. We fall away, we sin, and then we're separated from God. And throughout the Bible, God is just longing after us, trying to get back to us, doing everything he can to be reunited with his people. And finally, he sends his one and only Son to die just so we can be reunited with him. That's the greatest love story. Teach your children of God's grace. Exhibit the unconditional love of God to your family. Let the Bible be the standard of how you live your life. Don't look to the parents around you. Certainly don't look to the families on TV about how to parent your children. Above all else, the Bible should orient us. It'll guide us into becoming good parents. There's many aids out there, many tools to help you become good parents. Some of these are really good. Lisa and I use them. We just have to make sure they're biblically based. We should never teach our kids anything contrary to the Bible. The Bible is not only good for kids, it's also good for us as adults. I challenge you, live according to what the Bible says, day in and day out. Don't have two personalities. Don't have two different thought processes. Don't have a church hat. Don't have a work hat. You know, I had one person once tell me, actually in church, that, oh, I'm taking off my church hat now. And they asked me something not good. But it's just we shouldn't be those types of people. We need to be consistency. We can't just be a Christian in front of our kids and good in front of our kids. It needs to be throughout our entire living. And even if you don't have kids, live according to what the Bible says. And you'll see the blessings of God. Be authentic. The Bible says to love one another and to speak positively of one another, to be kind and to be respectful. This brings me to my fourth point, teaching respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that is what it means to me, just a little bit. Respect. It's a parent's job to teach their children respect. You don't need to teach your children to lie or to fight or to steal or to cheat, or to make a mess, or to hit each other. These things, they all come naturally. They just do it. It's like, wow, you know how to do so many things. But respect, it isn't natural. It needs to be taught. I feel like we're losing respect in today's society. In our world of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, it's all too easy to be disrespectful behind someone's back and yet in front of the entire world. If the entire world sees you being disrespectful behind someone's back, it's amazing the world we live in. Also today, kids are bombarded with way more information than they ever were in the past. I mean, Google has just ruined it. They see no need to seek advice from teachers or pastors or parents or anyone older than them. I remember when I was younger, back in the Stone Age, before the internet. Yes, I'm older than the internet. When I was a kid, I would ask my parents things and my grandparents. I remember them telling stories. And I was just so enthralled with what my grandparents had to say, seeking their wisdom. Well, Rebecca, my 7-year-old daughter, she asked me a question one time. And I didn't know the answer. But I was trying to answer it. And I was doing the dad thing, kind of fumbling over my words, making stuff up. I know all you dads do it. Don't pretend you don't. But she obviously caught on. And she saw I was struggling. And she interrupted me. And she said, "Dad, why don't you just Google it?" I said, "Really? Google? Already she's 7, and Google is undermining my authority as a parent. It's terrible." Children need to be taught to respect those around them. So first, we need to teach our kids to respect God. Psalms 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." There is such a thing as a healthy fear of God. And this fear of God plays out in the form of respect. The pursuit of wisdom begins with God. Only God is eternally wise. That's what the Bible says. Google may have a lot of knowledge. It does. But it's severely lacking in wisdom. Google can't discern what our kids hear, what goes into their eyes, into their minds, and their hearts. It doesn't have the wisdom. The oversaturation of knowledge and the lack of wisdom today, I think it's just creating this generation of little know-it-alls. They just know everything. There's a quote from the Spider-Man comics, which I love this quote. It says, "With great power comes great responsibility." Well, the great power of knowledge that kids are exposed to today, it needs to be tempered with great responsibility. And the way they can have this responsibility is to teach them respect. Teach them to respect the information and teach them to respect those around them. So first we teach them to respect God, and next we teach them to respect us as parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." You see that? Any teenagers out there? You want to live a long life? Throw a little respect the way of your parents. It's easy. Teaching your kids how to respect is key in them living godly lives. Some of that teaching is through what you tell them and what you show them. But most of that teaching comes through our example. We're going to be the example of respect to our children, because kids will do what we do way more often than they do what we say, unfortunately. So an example of this is, think about the next time you get a speeding ticket. What's your initial reaction a lot of times? Like, doesn't this cop have anything better to do? It's wasting this. I wasn't going that fast. And we just need to be careful the words we use and how we respond to situations when we're responding to people that are supposed to be an authority over us. We need to show the police officer respect, because little ears, they're always listening. The worst thing you can do for your children is to have them seeing you disrespect authority. Whether it's the police or the government, just watch what you're saying. My kids don't only listen to myself and Lisa. They also listen to other adults around them. It's crazy sometimes what they come home with, sayings, and it's like, where did you pick that up? But as a church, we all share in the responsibility of teaching kids respect. Stuart was having a conversation with me earlier, and he was talking about how in Canada, it seems like we don't have good manners. And I think it's more of a generational thing than a cultural thing. He's from Wales, where they're all very respectful and prim and proper. But I think it's a generational thing, teaching respect. Canada used to be known as one of the most polite nations. So for him to say that, it was a little shocking to me, but I can see it, absolutely. And it was really neat to see Alan Rancier teaching my kids to say please and thank you for toys. And I really appreciated that. You know, Karen and Alan, they're not my kids' parents, but they're on our team, and they show love and respect, and they're teaching my kids that, and it's really appreciated. And my children certainly look up to them, for sure. And they look up to a lot of you guys out there. So we as a church, we need to model and teach respect to all the children of City Light. It's our responsibility together as a community. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant, for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for the rulers bear the sword for a reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants, who give their full-time governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is a pretty loaded chapter. But it's basically saying that whoever's in authority, doesn't matter who the government is, they're placed there by God. God ultimately is in control. He's not going to let anything happen against his will. So we need to show respect to the government. Even if we disagree with what they're saying or what they're teaching, we still need to show respect. And if we owe taxes, don't complain about paying taxes or how bad they are. Just pay them. Model respect to your children so they in turn will learn to show respect. Rules and discipline in the household will teach our children respect and to not undermine authority. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, raise your children in the nurture and admonition, discipline of the Lord. So the nurture part is continual positive affirmation. And the admonition, or discipline, is the guidelines and rules of the house. I find the nurturing part easy. It comes naturally for me. It's not easy for everybody. But the discipline part, it takes a little more work. I find it best just to set a set of rules and guidelines for the house. These are things that our kids need to follow, they need to do. And if they break the rules, I take away their freedoms. And when they follow the rules, I allow them more freedoms. By doing this, it teaches kids right and wrong. It's simple. It also shows them how to follow rules. Sometimes one of my kids might tease their brother and sister because they get a freedom they don't, rub it in their face. I just take this time as an opportunity to teach them to respect each other. You know, it's not really nice. So, as I'm closing, I think what I like to do is just talk about the church and how the church is a family. You know, I can't stress enough how important it is to have our children come to church and be involved in the church. It's awesome to hear my kids talk about what they learned at Sunday school. Everett came back last week, and he was like so happy because he learned the actions to I've decided to follow Jesus. And he was trying to show them to me. I didn't even know there were actions. I don't think he quite got them because they didn't make sense, but he was so excited. It seems every week they come back from Sunday school with another story or another lesson they've learned. And it's just great what they're learning back there, even now. We currently have 65 kids enrolled in Sunday school. And for this size of church, that's a ton of kids. Like, it's crazy. That's 12 and under. So if you guys want to volunteer your time or make a commitment, I'm sure it'd be greatly appreciated. We also have a great youth group here. I recently had the opportunity to chaperone an event. We went down to YC in Red Deer. It's a youth conference, a ton of youth there. But the best part for me was just getting to know the youth of this church a little better. You know, I got to see them interacting with one another. I saw them engaging in worship, which is crazy, taking part in all these messages, just totally engaged. I was shocked at how well-behaved and how responsible they were, for the most part. We did have one youth misplace his wallet. He just left it lying on the ground and someone took it. This was early on in the week. I think within like an hour after we got there. So he had all his money in there to buy the food for the weekend. So he had no money for food. I helped out once, but it was really cool to see another youth step up and just start paying for all of his meals. He wasn't even asked. He just didn't miss a beat. I mean, just really, really neat to see that. You don't see that with teenagers very often this day. They really take care of each other. Felt like a tight-knit group. And he wasn't the only kid to lose something. I know when we first got there, Jess told everyone, she's like, I got one rule and one rule only. And she handed out these bracelets. She said, don't lose this bracelet. Now this bracelet gets you into all the events, into all the seminars. Basically you can't, I don't even think you can go to the bathroom without this bracelet on. It was crazy. It's like a Nazi camp over there. But so what happens? Friday night passes, we get there Sunday morning, and there's two youth there that show up with bare wrists, no bracelets on. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. The one rule they were supposed to follow. But we had such a good time just learning about God and the relationships that were built there. You know, they impacted me deeply. I just like to give a shout out to Cam and Jess as youth leaders. They got to be doing something right. That's right. They take time out of their lives to spend with other people's teenagers. Just, why would you do that? It's crazy. Also, I want to just say that the parents of these kids are doing a really good job raising them because I was really blown away. And also, by doing this, I get some practice for when my kids are eventually teenagers. Way, 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 way down the road. They're way too young. Teenagers are crazy. That's the great thing about the extended family of church, though. We get these moments to take in wisdom and to learn practical things. Another great thing as the church of a family is the support we get here. We give out meals when someone's sick or when you just had a baby, which I have a lot of experience with. It's also the little things in the church. We give rides to one another. We help out when someone's in need. We help them move. You know, we do work on other people's houses and just little things. Even the renovations at this church. It was a bunch of people giving their talents and their time, coming together and doing something. It just feels like a real family. I would go as far to say that the church family is the same, if not better, than your extended family. That's because we share the same vision and the same heart, the same purpose. We're all reaching people for Jesus Christ. We're all living according to what the Bible says, and that bond that knits us together is so much stronger than blood. So much stronger. It's a spiritual bond. And I am so thankful for the people at this church. I know that my kids have the best chance in this church. And if I attend regularly. And as Pastor Doug said, regularly is every week, not just on Christmas and Easter. All the love and support that you guys show to my family does not go unnoticed either. We had a barbecue for the worship team on Friday, and it was just so cool to see all my kids there. And everyone engaging with them, teaching them, loving on them. There's even a couple teenagers there, Abby and Ryan. Yeah, Ryan back in the booth there. And they were just so good with the kids, engaging with them. And the kids really, they talked about how great time they had. But I don't think I could ever leave my kids with them because they're the same two that lost their bracelets. So I wouldn't want them to lose my kids. But it's just great to see everyone involved in raising my kids. And it does take a village, and I'm so thankful for everyone here. I encourage you guys, as well as I encourage myself, to just keep growing closer as a family. This is the best family. Be open and honest with one another. Continue to show love and support to each other. Let's make City like a place where there's no judgment. You know, it doesn't matter of your past. It doesn't matter where you come from. When you step through these doors, let's welcome people in as part of our family. Let's make City Light a reflection of God's kingdom. That's what light does. Light reflects. And if we're a reflection of God's kingdom, then we're all sons and daughters of God. That makes us brothers and sisters. We're a family of believers. And this church is our home. just going to close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the church family. I thank you so much for the benefits of being involved in a group that's focused on serving you and loving you. Father, you say you'll take care of your children. You say you love your children. You loved your children so much that you sent your son to die so that you could just be with them. I'd just like to take the opportunity right now to pray with anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus. Maybe you're here and you feel like, yeah, I do. I want to be part of that family. Maybe you haven't really been part of a church family and you haven't really seen Jesus put into practice. If that's you, I just ask that you say this prayer after me. Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that only you can take away my sins. I ask that you come into my heart. I ask that you be Lord over my life. I thank you to be part of your family. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Just ask that everyone keep their heads bowed and eyes closed. If anyone said that prayer for the first time, just ask that you put your hand up. It's important to make your commitment public. If that's you, just put your hand up. Anybody? Thank you. Father, I just thank you so much for the blessing of this church, City Light, and I thank you so much for the blessing of family. I pray that as this country continues to grow older and as this church continues to grow older, that we would just stick to the foundations that are found in the Bible, God, to your teachings. Father, I pray that we would be knitted together in your spirit, God. We pray right now for anyone that's sick or in need, Father, that you would bring healing to them. God, anyone that needs a touch, anyone that needs to feel a little bit of your presence, God, we just ask that you would come now. Enter into their lives. Fill their heart with your love, Father. You are the greatest Father, God, and we love you. I ask that you be with these people the rest of this week. Bless this service. Bless this congregation.